Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. It's been a while, and we're so glad that you're here because we were down in Florida, and we recorded some shows ahead of time, but this is a fresh listener question show, and we are taking on some great questions about how to take care of theme park reservations when you have a split stay. How do you divide up those tickets so that you don't pay more than you need to, but you can make those theme park reservations right away? What about a multi-generational trip? What are some great tips for that, especially going down during these a little bit different times? And many other questions as well about transportation, getting around Walt Disney World, and much more. Don't forget today's show brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. Please support the show by booking your next trip with the great folks over at the Magic for Less Travel. They're a platinum earmarked agency, which means Disney has recognized them for being the best of the best. Check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And again, a huge shout out to our patrons. I thank you sincerely for allowing us to put out this podcast each and every week. It is a passion, and I hope you always enjoy it. And our patrons are making this possible. If you'd like an extra podcast called Mike in the Midwest every Thursday, just visit patreon.com/BeOurGuestPodcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1898 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman, from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Wednesday to you. It's been a bit since we've gotten together to record a show here, as we recorded a bunch of shows early since, all three of us were down in Central Florida over the last week or so, having a good time and checking out some new stuff. And we'll be talking about that on Friday, but of course it is Wednesday, which means listener questions. If there's something we have to do, we have to have consistency here on the show. If you logged in and, you know, downloaded the podcast and all of a sudden we started talking about a topic on a Wednesday, the world would tilt on its axis.
We have done that before.
I think we have, but yeah. Enough changes this week. We're going to keep things simple. We're going to answer questions. We're just going to keep it at that. So joining me today to answer those listener questions, we have Ricky. She hangs out over at themouseforless.com. What's up, Ricky?
She does. And, just keeping busy. He's been keeping me busy lately. They've got lots of news and everything coming out. So I've been super swamped for like the past 2 weeks. So it's nice to just, you know, kind of breathe a little bit. I got the weekend to kind of breathe, which was super awesome because I haven't really had the opportunity to do that in 2 weeks. So yeah, it's been a lot. Last 2 weeks have been a lot, but yeah, not as much as you.
Yes. We were talking in the pregame. I got a little, Friday nights, right? Friday nights. What do you think of on Friday nights? You think of Friday nights, you go out and you have Mexican and margaritas. That's my plan. Like my whole life. Like, that's what I look forward to. Unless I'm going to Walt Disney World, that's typically the highlight of my week, unless Mizzou's playing on Saturday. And so this past Friday night at 5:30, I was not having margaritas. I was not having fajitas. I was laying on an operating table getting kidney stones removed with a laser, which I had to keep sending Scott, you know, like little gifs of lasers. I'm like, yes, they're going to be using a laser on me, and it's in a bad spot. I'm like, it's a good one. Like, okay, how many euphemisms can you use that this is going to be painful for the next week? But yeah,
exactly.
I'm here. And so we'll...
Mike is here, and it's because he will not let anybody else record a podcast without him. So I already have offered to record a podcast by myself with somebody else, whatever. Nope, Mike won't let me do it. So, you know, that's fine. Whatever, Mike. Be stubborn.
That's how it goes. And so we're going to be here and keeping the streak alive. I lost my streaks on my Apple Watch. Some of them were over 1,500 days. Ouch. But, we're not going to miss the streak here on the podcast. So I'm going to at least get to Cal Ripken 21-31. And then we'll talk. All right. So we are going to answer your listener questions. And we'll have our first question of the day from Haley. And then we're going to talk a little Halloween because somebody asked about that too. But Haley has a question. She says, hey, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. Excuse me. Longtime listener, first time listener question asker. My husband and I have been fortunate enough to travel to Disney World a lot over the years, but have never spent time in the pools or the water parks. We have a trip coming up in a couple of weeks where we'll be staying at Coronado Springs and do not have park tickets. So we're finally going to spend some time enjoying the pools. A couple of questions for y'all. What are the open hours of the pools right now? Are any of the floats or noodles or anything like that provided? We are also planning to go to Blizzard Beach for the first time. Should we buy our tickets in advance or just the day we go? Do you have to make park reservations for the water parks? Any other tips or advice for Blizzard Beach or Coronado Springs? We want to take full advantage of the amenities outside of the parks for this trip because we have decided to chill more and not get park tickets. Thank you for creating so much Disney content for us to enjoy while we're at home dreaming of our favorite place. Haley is down by you, Ricky. She's in Athens, Georgia.
Awesome.
I'm sure she would say go dogs.
Yes, probably.
So, okay, first of all, I was just Coronado Springs. We'll talk about this a little bit on Friday, but the pool was open till 11 o'clock at night, the dig site pool.
Nice.
And I think it opened at about 10 in the morning-ish. We didn't go in the mornings. We went in the evenings. So we did that. The pool was awesome. Like, we were down there while the cheerleaders were there. There were cheerleaders staying at Coronado Springs, so it was pretty full. Never had to do the text, like, wait system. You know, but of course, we went in one afternoon. I think we went twice. We went at, like, 3 o'clock in the afternoon one day, and we went at 9 o'clock at night the next night and had no issues. So the Coronado Springs pool was great. No noodles or anything like that were provided. I didn't see anybody had brought anything. So there were no noodles or floats or anything in the pool. A couple people were throwing, like, you know, inflatable balls and stuff like that. But the Siesta pool bar was open, and that was a hit with everybody. Drinks were flowing. They were doing hot appetizer kind of things. People were getting dinners, like kid dinners, you know, like chicken strips and stuff like that. So yeah, the pool at the dig site is awesome. Remember, you got three quiet pools too, over in the Ranchos, the Cabanas, and the Casitas. So those are actually really nice, but they're chill. They don't have all the amenities. Now, Blizzard Beach, I did notice that all over the place, they had those, what are they called? Like the little triangle kind of stands, like the signs, you know what I'm saying? You know, Ricky, those, like, you know, the stands, just like a sign that sat, yeah. It sat by the bus stops, basically.
Yeah.
And it said, to order your one-day ticket to Blizzard Beach, just scan this QR code.
Oh.
So what they were encouraging people to do is, if you want to go to Blizzard Beach, just took your phone, you scan the QR code on that. It's called like a sandwich sign or something, I think. But
yeah, sandwich board. Yeah, sandwich board.
So you just scan that, and that's how you get your one-day ticket. You could buy it in advance, or I know we can sell those, but you can buy them in advance, or you could buy it the day of. And way they're, you don't need a theme park reservation, because apparently the way they're only selling one-day tickets, so when they've sold too many, they just don't sell them for that day. So I guess that's how they take care of that. You know, you don't need theme park reservations if you're only selling one-day tickets. You know how many people are going to be there.
Right.
And exactly. People are raving about Blizzard Beach. I mean, I'm seeing good things. So what are your thoughts on the pool situation? I can't believe they've never been to the pools. It's a good time.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a lot of fun. I think that as we get further into the summer, you know, it'll be interesting to see if we start hitting those, you know, the times where they have to have people on a wait list. You know, obviously they had to do that over spring break. So it'll be, as we move forward, both with COVID restrictions being released a little bit, hopefully, you know, we've already seen that Disney is getting rid of the temperature checks. So, you know, they're slowly making changes. So we may see more things happen where you can increase capacity at all places. So that would also include pools and stuff like that. So we'll see how all that works out. But, you know, pool days are awesome. So you definitely want to make sure you take advantage of that. And like I said, you don't need a park pass reservation for Blizzard Beach. So you can kind of do that at your whim, as long as they have tickets available, which is also nice. There, Disney does not provide, so they provide like the tubes for slides and stuff like that, but they don't have like floats or anything for like the wave pool or anything like that. So if there's something that you want to do in the wave pool and you want to float, actually, I don't think
you can bring them in the wave pool. I think you have to use their clear ones. So they
know
if like anybody's drowning. I think they do let you at Blizzard Beach, and I think the Blizzard Beach.
I don't think they do at Typhoon Lagoon.
Typhoon Lagoon, they don't, because that's got the killer wave. Typhoon Lagoon has the killer wave, and they don't have floats. But Blizzard Beach, I remember, I was like bobbing on a clear.
Okay. It's been a while. It's been a hot minute since I've been to Blizzard Beach. So I'm just thinking of being back in St. Louis and going to Raging Rivers.
Oh,
Mike,
my gosh.
So.
I haven't been there in ages. It's cool.
You can bring any kind of noodle you wanted in there.
Yes, you can. You might get a catfish in the water slide. It's so close to the Mississippi.
Who knew? Yeah.
Yeah. So, but yeah, go to the pools. They're a lot of fun. Yeah, we had a good time. And like you said, I'll be down at Stormalong Bay in July. So that'll be a whole another story. We'll see how that works out. All right. Somebody asked, and we lost the feed here, but we're back, about the Boo Bash. So a lot of there was a lot of, announcements and anticipation last week when I was laying in the hospital and I couldn't keep up with things like, oh my gosh, is the Halloween party coming back? Mickey's Not So Scary. And it is, but sort of. It isn't, kind of. Yeah. I think it's a good concession. So what do we got for the Boo Bash?
Absolutely. So, you know, everybody had been asking, is Disney going to bring back Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party for 2021? And you know that they would try to do whatever they could to do something for Halloween, right? I mean, they tried a little bit last year, did a lot of snacks and stuff like that to really bring the Halloween spirit. That was their big thing last year. But this year, they are doing the Disney After Hours Boo Bash. Now, the reason for the rename of this event is because, obviously, if they don't have a parade, if they don't have fireworks, and if they don't have stage shows, which are three very important parts of Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party, it's not Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party. Yeah. So they got to change the name. And the Disney After Hours events were something that Disney had done before COVID hit. There were these hard ticket events that really cut down on the number of people that were in the parks. And they allowed people to be able to ride attractions with less wait times. And then actually before COVID started, I think they kicked off, or they were just about to kick off, the Villains version of the Disney After Hours event. That got canceled, obviously. But they had a whole set of things that they were going to do for that. So they took the idea of, well, let's do Disney After Hours, but make it the Halloween party. So they're doing the Boo Bash. So the Boo Bash, it's going to take place from August 10th to October 31st. It's going to take place most nights from 9 p.m. to midnight. However, there are some nights in August and September when it's going to be from 9:30 until 12:30. It includes special performances by the Cadaver Dans, Halloween-themed cavalcades, character sightings throughout the park, decor, lighting, music, and yes, you will still get to go trick-or-treating.
Yes, that's the best part, right? Got to have candy or she don't have Mike.
Heck yeah. Candy. So we're good there. Guests can still dress in costume. Of course, you are still going to have to wear a mask. Costume masks are not permitted for adults, but they can be worn by children under the age of 14. But all guests are required to wear the appropriate face coverings. I guess they had to separate the terms because.
Right. I mean, it is tricky because, right. I mean, some Yahoo rolls in with Darth Vader, you know, and like, hey, man, I'm good. You know,
exactly. You know. I can go into the park. No, you cannot, sir. So, yeah. Tickets. Guests who purchase tickets can enter the park as early as 7 p.m. without the need to purchase a day ticket or without the need to buy a Disney Park Pass or make a Disney Park Pass reservation. So that's good news, too. You don't have to do that. Tickets are not on sale yet. They will go on sale next month. And it sounds like it's going to be a great, great time. I'm definitely going to try to get tickets for myself. We'll see how that works. Because I would be going when everybody else and their brother is going that time around, the October 1st. So who knows if I'll be able to get in. But
seriously. Yeah. I just renewed my annual pass today when I was on my painkillers. So,
that's always good.
For the next year. I was like, I'll spend some money. No, but you know what? When I saw this announcement, I was reading about it as I was catching up when I got home last night, is that I think Disney did this perfectly. You know, and I am a Disney homer, but I think that this is the right solution for the time for the 2021 Halloween season because, for one thing, these after-hour events, which is what this is, it's not, like you said, you explained it perfectly. It's not Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party because of the components that are missing.
Exactly.
But it is a specialty after hours event, and those after hours event were super popular, and people and they were expensive. Don't get me wrong.
People figured out how awesome they were, they became super popular.
But the thing was, I didn't go because they're too expensive.
They are very expensive.
I was there when they were happening. Like Scott went one time. I was like, dude, that's too expensive.
I think they're almost more than Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party tickets were, I think, or close to it. But the thing about the
smaller crowd
party. The thing about it is a smaller crowd. The thing about the after hours events, and I don't know if they will continue this with this one, is you did get free popcorn and soda and Mickey ice cream bars and stuff like that. If that's the case, then it's totally worth that amount of money because, you know, you can load up on that stuff. But if it's just, you know, if you're not, they're not including the free food and it's still the same price. I think it's a little more dicey, you know, without the fireworks and the parade and the, you know, stage shows. So it'll be interesting to see where Disney prices this and what they offer fully, you know, because they'll announce all of the stuff that they're offering when they release tickets. So
right, and I would not guess that this will be any cheaper than Mickey's Not So Scary. I'd say this will come in at the same price point because there's going to be less availability for each party, and they're going to have to make it worth their while. And I think the thing is too, these, like I said, these after hour events, everybody that went, like, they spent a fortune on these things. They were expensive, but every guest I talked to at the Magic for Less, I'd ask them when they got back, you know, because they did it.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, we all have different things. Like, I spend money on, you know, running gear. You know, nobody's going to spend what they, you know, I spend on sneakers sometimes. You know, it's just we all have our thing. And people will come back and be like, God, that after hours events was the best $175 I spent. I'm like, oh, whoo, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
But I mean, they raved about it. Like, I'd do it again in a heartbeat. You know, there's always a question, would you do it again? Yeah, I'd do it again. And so I think the thing is, in Halloween, you know, over the past, like, probably decade, I mean, it's got hardcore fans. And, of course,
yeah.
Disney has to have an answer to Halloween Horror Nights over at Universal, too.
Correct.
So I think this is, I mean, if you make it exclusive, that really fits into the, you know, social, it works perfectly. It fits into the social distancing model, and people get to, you know, go down and get their Halloween on at Disney in the fall, which is what the
Absolutely.
Goal is.
Absolutely. 100%. I mean, I know so many people missed Halloween last year, you know, at the Magic Kingdom. They couldn't do what, you know, even this, you know, they couldn't do this. And, you know, they did their best, obviously, with what they could do. I mean, like I said, they had all the treats and stuff like that, and they had some really great treats. And, you know, they had some decorations up and stuff like that. They didn't obviously go as full out as they normally do, but they had some stuff up. So it'll be really interesting to see what they do this year with the Boo Bash, and hopefully it'll be just as awesome as the regular Disney After Hours events.
So let's go here. Let's do this real quick, and we'll try to have somebody recall this for us when it is announced next month. I'm going to put it at, let's go over under $100 for the ticket.
Oh no, it's going to be more than that.
I'm talking not Halloween day, not like on Halloween.
No, it's going to be more than that.
You think it's going to be over $100 like in September? Let's say
Absolutely.
A September ticket, over $100. Okay, I would go over too. That's what I would say too.
I think it's going to be close to about $140.
Whew, man.
Yeah.
I'm just
because I think the villain, if I remember right, the villain's one was like $140 something. Hang on. I know I wrote a blog article about it. Let me look. And,
all right, well, while you're doing that, Jennifer in the live chat has a follow-up question. She says, since Disney announced the modified Boo Bash, I do like Boo Bash. It makes a good hashtag, actually. Hashtag Boo Bash. For Halloween, what do you think about the possibility of some type of after-hours Christmas party in November, December? I think it is locked.
Correct.
It's locked.
100% now.
You just change
exactly
the decorations and you're set. You know, the decorations and the goodies and you're good to go.
Absolutely. That is 100% happening. I mean, as long as they can do it. And, you know, if they can get it to go as a regular Mickey's, you know, Very Merry, then they will. But, I definitely think that they will be doing this if they can't do that. By the way, the Disney Villains After Hours. Yeah, I was pretty much spot on with that. It was $145 ahead of time and $155 on the night of the event. Now, the one thing I will say that is different is that they could have stage shows, and they did offer stage shows with Disney Villains After Hours. So obviously if they can't do that,
but who knows by then? I mean, because like I did PhilharMagic, I did Muppets, Festival of Lion King's coming back.
True. Festival of Lion King. So it depends. But everything, that's the only thing that I don't think that I'm looking at what they were offering. And that's the only thing I don't think that they can offer right now that they, you know, that would be removed from the Halloween party. And the price is, $145. It was $155 on the night of the event. So,
all right. And Beck is asking if those could be added to a package. Unfortunately, they cannot be added to a package. They're standalone tickets. And there'll be a link when they announce it next week. You just click on the link and it just goes right. What I would do is just order it yourself, because what it's going to do is you're just going to click on the link to order it. It'll have you log into your My Disney Experience account. Boom. And it's everything's on your Magic. Well, you know, we'll talk about that. I didn't even use a Magic Band. How's that?
Oh.
No Magic Band for Mike.
Look at you. I will say before, annual pass holders and Disney Vacation Club members did get a discount. So I suspect that they will still get discounts.
Re-upped. I'm still an AP holder.
Same.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Robbie's got a question. He says, hey, Mike, Ricky, and Pam, during your most recent trip, you posted a picture of the entrance to Adventureland from the Hub. This is my second favorite entrance to a land area in the Magic Kingdom. In order, they are, and he gives, number one, Main Street from the park entrance. Number two, Adventureland from the Hub. Number three, Liberty Square from Fantasyland. Trying to picture that one. Okay,
yeah, I got it.
I got to think a little bit. I'll take a Liberty Square from the Hub. Tomorrowland from the Hub ranks number one at 90, says. I really like that, yes. Frontierland from Adventureland through the passageway at Island Supply. Okay, that one is, he says, weird, I know. Yes, absolutely. That
no,
is weird.
That is a good one.
That just made me kind of in my back of my throat there because it stinks. Fantasyland from Liberty Square during the day under the Columbia Harbor House at night, either entrance because of the tangled lanterns. There might not be the time on the show to rank yours, but what is your favorite land area entrance in the Magic Kingdom? Thanks. Ooh, and Robbie's down in Chattanooga. He's been listening forever. I mean, since we started the show. So what's up, Robbie? Man, best. So, what is your best entrance area? It kind of goes along with what we talked about Friday, like the best backdrops. What has, mine has to be Adventureland. The picture I took, I just, for some reason, like going into Adventureland from the Hub when there's not a lot of people around, you got kind of the Crystal Palace off to the left. You get that kind of just in the picture just a little bit. You got all the like, you know, flock. And there's some palm trees there that used to be like a little smoking kind of island, like with benches around.
Oh, that's my favorite. I love that little island.
I don't know why. I do.
No, I don't either. It's awesome. So weird.
I know. I do love that island. But I love that bridge. Like, because it really does. I mean, because all of a sudden you start hearing the drums. I don't know. That's got to be my number one. That's probably why I took the picture. But what about you?
That is a very, very good one. Since I won't choose that one, since you did, I will go with the other one that he mentioned, which is Tomorrowland. That is absolutely, I think that is my favorite one. Just because, you know, you have the view of the sign, and especially at night when it's all lit up and you've got the motion going of the Astro Orbiter. It's just, I love that entrance right there. It's so perfect. But you did mention another really good one. Another one that I use a lot is the entrance from Main Street into Liberty Square. I use that bridge a lot of the time to get back there. And it's a really great entrance too, right by Sleepy Hollow. Yeah, I like that one a lot.
One time, one of the best moments I've ever had at Walt Disney World. I was down there with a bunch of us that worked at Space Camp. Space Camp closed over the 4th of July we didn't have a group of teachers come through that week. So we drove down to Walt Disney World. A couple of the people who worked at Space Camp were also seasonal employees at Walt Disney World. And so somehow they got it hooked up where we got to sit, you know, those like benches kind of in an alcove right by that Liberty Square sign. There's some benches right there. We sat there like as VIPs behind a rope as Spectro Magic went by.
Nice.
Oh, it was the coolest. Like, I mean, like every character like waved. It was... Yeah, it's one of those things like, you know, you got to really be a Disney geek to enjoy that. But it was like the cool. I still remember that, like, because I love that parade. And
that's awesome.
It was really cool. All right. Really cool. Megan's got a question here. Let's say, hey, Mike, Ricky and Pam, I'm a longtime listener, but had dropped off for a while because I didn't know when my next trip would be. Well, hey, hang with us.
Yeah.
Sometimes I don't even know when my next trip's going to be. No, I usually do. But hang with us anyway. You never know. I mean, we might have medical scares. Let's see. Well, after a canceled baby moon due to the flu in 2019 and a canceled trip in 2020 due to the pandemic, my family and I are vaccinated, except for the toddlers, and heading down to Walt Disney World in a couple of weeks. I've been so excited to take my son, not quite 2 years old, for his first trip, but I'm starting to get nervous about just how different things will be. I made my peace with a lot of it, masks, distancing, no fireworks, closed restaurants. But upon hearing about waits for the resort pool, the need to mobile order lunch at 9 a.m., and just generally being around humanity again, I'm starting to worry about the experience that it's going to be much more frustrating than I'd been expecting. You're such a positive crew who can always turn my day around, and I know you've been in the parks at some point in 2021, so please help reassure me that my return to the world after 3 years will still be magical, and the logistics of the trip like this aren't too daunting on a daily basis. We'll be traveling as a multi-generational party, 7 adults and 2 Disney-loving toddlers, and staying one night in Grand Estino Tower, then 6 nights at Kidani Village. Thanks for all you do, Megan. She also says, P.S., in case it's relevant, we're renting cars, so we won't have to rely too much on Disney transportation. We've set up reservations for 3 signature dinners for the trip for most of the adults to enjoy after the little ones go to bed, with a rotation that each couple will stay back with the toddlers and miss 1 dinner each. Welcome any tips. Megan, that is a pro tip.
That's a great idea right there. Yes.
When I heard multi-generational, I was like, this is perfect when you have toddlers, because that way, you know, like one couple can sneak off and, you know, go have like, you know, a night, you know, you don't get that when you have toddlers. I remember you're beat down. You're wore out when you have toddlers. I'm just telling you. No. Okay. So you were there. You've been there. I've been there. I was thinking about this, right? You know, because we've had this ever since the pandemic hit, we've had this kind of, everybody's had this conversation on social media with all your other Disney friends and so forth, people at work. And, you know, would you go as a first timer or would you go back if you're a Disney veteran? Because A, if you're a first timer, you don't know what you're missing, right?
Right.
And if you're somebody who's a Disney veteran, like, are you going to lament the whole time? Oh, well, I got to get a socially distant selfie with Buzz Lightyear, but I'd sure like to shake his hand, you know, or, you know, hey, it's 9 o'clock. It'd sure be nice if, you know, Happily Ever After was firing off. And the thing that I realized, because I've been now 3 times since it's reopened, the magic is still there. I mean, the masks, I'm not a big mask fan. Like I said, the heat index was 99 it was smoking hot when I was there the whole time. The masks aren't great, but they're needed for right now. And other than that, though, I mean, we did Disney Springs a few nights. We did all the parks except Animal Kingdom. We had a great time. I mean, the rides are fun. You got a mobile order, but it wasn't hard. Like, you just kind of do it. And actually, it's a little bit more efficient because
absolutely.
When I was there with just Mallory, we would mobile order our stuff like at 9 o'clock in the morning for lunch, like she said. But the thing was, we were waiting in line anyway. So we looked at all the restaurants we had in the park and we decided on a restaurant. Then we looked at the menus. Then we just picked it and put it in. And then, you know, when we got hungry, we picked our little arrival window. And then once it came close to our arrival window, we just hit I'm here, walked over and got our food. I mean, piece of cake. I mean, you do have to think. The thing is, and I get this. And I'm kind of, I don't like planning all the moments out. I'm more of a spur of the moment kind of guy. I'd rather just walk into Columbia Harbor House when I'm by it and grab some, you know, some fish and chips. That's me. I don't like that I have to mobile order, but it works. It's not that hard. You know, you got to make theme park reservations. I don't like doing that either, but I have to do it. And the thing is, it kind of washes out when you get down there. When you have a Mickey bar, you're on Main Street and you're not at home. I mean, it's way better than the alternative. There's a lot of magic happening. I would not be worried. And your kids are going to have a great time. They don't know any better.
No, absolutely. I think you hit the nail right on the head. I want to go back. I think she was worried about having to mobile order at 9 a.m. You don't have to mobile order at 9 a.m. Because that was one of the things that she actually mentioned. I mean, I was just down there and, you know, this past weekend or weekend before. And I literally drove in, went to the Magic Kingdom on Sunday, and I just ordered while I was walking in, you know, I ordered my dinner for that night. So, I mean, you can mobile order at any time. And for the most part, unless it's like a really busy time, your food can be ready in the now window. It's very rare that it's, you know, backed up. It's like probably only during lunch that it's, and maybe like that hard dinner time that you're going to be, you know, stuck with having it push back a little bit. But you don't have to pre-order like hours ahead of time. So you're okay there. You know, masks. Yeah, it was a little warm while we were there. I will have to admit it was like, wasn't it like 95 degrees, Mike? It was a little warm.
It was hot.
But you know, you dealt with it. You got some water. I drank a ton of water because I was so thirsty. And you know, the magic is there. It's where you find it. You know, yeah, you're right. You can't like hug Mickey, but the cavalcades are so magical to watch them go by.
They are.
You know, the characters really do interact with guests so much more in the cavalcades than they ever could have in a parade. I mean, you know, cause they're looking at everybody in the parade, everybody's crammed in, which thankfully you can't do that. So, you know, in the cavalcades though, everybody gets to be spaced out more. So they can pay more attention to your family, which is a really cool thing. It really is a very magical time if you let it be. You know what I'm saying? If you focus on the negative, then yeah, it's going to be a negative experience. But if you focus on, this is still a really cool thing that I'm getting to do. I'm still in Disney. That's the best part. So,
and she's got what she set herself up for success. For one, it's a multi-generational trip, so they have a lot of hands to help with the kids.
Yes.
And, I mean, that's good in any times, but I mean, it's really good in these times. Here's the thing that I learned too. Pool time is golden because if you want to feel like a normal Disney vacation, get on the pool deck. When we were at the dig site, you didn't have to wear a mask when you were in your chair. You didn't have to wear a mask when you were walking around the pool. As long as you're inside those gates, you didn't have to have on a mask. Nobody was hounding you about it. So the thing was, you could sit by the pool. I didn't have any drinks. It was just me and Mallory. But I watched everybody else drink their frozen margaritas. We just
swam. Yeah.
So, you know, like everybody, that was the snapshot when I was, you know, swimming at 10:30 at night in the dig site pool with Mallory. You know, it was kids screaming, no masks, people just having a good time. It was vacation. You know, it was like the most normal thing I'd seen in like 18 months. And so pool time and your restaurants, because in your restaurant, when you're at your table, you don't have to wear your mask. You're just dining as normal with your party. And, you know, like you said, pick out those meals that are important to you, those restaurants. And staying at Kanani, you have great pools. I mean, you got the cool Kanani pool, which don't miss that. I mean, you've probably stayed there before, I'm guessing, but it's across the parking lot. But it's got a lot of fun little play features for the little guys, like little water features. It's got a lot of cool little stuff. And then, of course, the Jumbo pool is just amazing. It's beautiful.
And I don't know if the Jumbo pool is open because Jumbo House isn't open. But I know Kanani is.
I thought it was for some reason.
I haven't heard that Kadani's pool has like closed. That's not one of the pools that I've heard that has closed. So maybe you got a good shot with that one too.
Yeah. But I mean, the thing is that you're sit down dining and pool time and your time in the parks, you're going to have fun because you're going to be like, hey, let's ride the magic carpets. I mean, it's the same. You know, like I did, you know, Mallory and I did Astro Orbiter. Got a mask on. Who cares? You don't realize it once you're up flying around, you know? It's like you're having a good time. You know, it's just, it's so fun. And I will say this too. I just got to throw this in. The maskless selfie, you know, like when you stop to take pictures without mask, it is so great. It is so wonderful. I mean, I take a lot of selfies because I like to shoot pictures on Instagram when I'm down there to show them that I'm having fun because I am having fun and I like to kind of show things. But just in the last month, being able to get on my social media feed, because I follow so many Disney fans, that when I see these smiles again, you know, and the masks were okay, they were necessary, but it's so good to see people's smiles, you know, in front of Cinderella Castle or in front of Spaceship Earth or, you know, doing things. And it makes you feel good to be able to pull that mask down, take a shot of your family and put it back up.
Absolutely. 100%.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. So, Tom's asking if I used Magical Express on my trip. I'll talk about this a little bit on Friday, but I did not use it inbound because we had to stay off site. We stayed at the Hilton at Disney Springs. There's two of them, but I'll talk about the one I stayed at. Wasn't the right one. But I did use Magical Express on the way back to the airport, and there were no issues with that. But I'm sure you're asking, like, was there a long line at the airport, which
we've seen lots of photos of. Yeah.
We took Uber. Yeah. We took Uber. Yeah. Yes. And so I'll save that story because the Uber story was pretty good, too, getting over. When you have all these cheerleaders in an airport all at the same time competing for ride chairs, it's not pretty.
No, it's not, I'm sure.
Okay,
no.
Don's got a question here. I'm curious what you would say about this one, because I have kind of a weird answer to this one. Don says, opinion on the best park for a short one day, which you have to travel home. So on your travel home day, which park do you go to? Currently, it says I have Animal Kingdom scheduled on a Sunday. Our flight's at 6:20 p.m., and we are planning on Magical Express while it is still here. Which I get it. Yeah, you want to do Magical Express because it goes away forever. What do you do? Like, say you're flying home. Let's say you have like a, because usually I try to take the last flight out. We flew home at like 4 o'clock this time, so we had to be on Magical. Listen, so we had a 4:10 flight. We had to be on Magical Express at 12:45, and it's a good thing we were, because all the systems were down at Orlando International because somebody cut a cable. Oh my god! It took us two and a half hours to check our bags and get our boarding passes.
Oh my gosh!
And to go through TSA. Awful. Yeah, it was ridiculous. It was crazy. It was the longest line I've ever seen. We were backed up to the Chick-fil-A. For the check-in desk at Southwest. No kidding.
Oh, my goodness.
We're in the food court. So it's a good thing we got there early. But, 12:45 pickup for a 4:10 flight. That was a little bit ridiculous. But what do you pick, though? Say you have a flight like that. Where do you go?
Well, I do this a lot, actually, because I have a short day when I because I'll drive home my last day. So oftentimes I choose Hollywood Studios as my short day. Now, this was before Rise, so I just want to specify that, but a lot of times I will do Animal Kingdom as well, because, you know, I just feel like I can get most of the attractions done that I want to get done in Animal Kingdom, so a lot of times I'll do Animal Kingdom, and that's usually one of those two parks if I'm not super concerned about riding Rise or Animal Kingdom. You know, it's just kind of
so funny, because in the live chat, Joe Laszlo and Mike Bankhead are saying Epcot, which I get Epcot, right? Because there's a lot to do without standing in line. You could go just take your time, do World Showcase till you got to skedaddle. You know, no pressure there.
Yeah.
I think Epcot is the perfect park for your arrival day, not your departure day, but arrival day, because you don't feel like you're so behind the eight ball, right? Say you get there
at
3 o'clock in the afternoon, you can still enjoy World Showcase because it's not like a queued up, you know, just walk through, get some snacks, kind of get into
the room. I just say, by the way, I am very much enjoying these staggered opening times for the Disney parks right now.
Oh, dude, I can't do 11 at Epcot. I feel like the day's half gone. I hate that.
No, you know that's the perfect time. Like, but the parks open till 10.
I don't care. Open it at 8. Open it at 8 and stay open till 11. I don't care. But 11
it's
o'clock.
It's awesome. I love it because, like, then I feel like I can, I don't know. I think that it's a much better thing. So, I'm a big fan.
Here's a funny thing, though. Don's question, I go to the Magic Kingdom. And there's, okay, so Magic, here's why I go to the Magic Kingdom on my last day. Target-rich environment. Lots and lots of attractions you can get done. You know, because even if you're not going to do Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, on your last, say you got like 3 hours before you, you know, you got 3 good hours in the park before you got to get back for Magical Express. I mean, you can do a ton of stuff like Astro Orbiter, or you can go through the treehouse, or you can sneak on pirates, or, you know, magic. There's so many, like, you know, just not e-ticket attractions. You got all kinds of stuff. You could get people mover one more time, get a good snack from the Magic Kingdom. But here's the problem with that. Okay, so there's two. That's the good of going to the Magic Kingdom. The problem with the Magic Kingdom is such a pain in the butt to get there and back. It takes a lot more time to most hotels.
And to get out, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
So it's not the best for that, but I mean, once you're in, you can get a ton done and get out. Like, you can say, oh, man, my last morning, I did 9 things. But yes, you do have to factor in. You got to wait for the bus in and the bus out. So,
yeah, that's
not
true.
Not perfect. But, yeah, I mean, we always do Magic Kingdom. But, I mean, whatever, you know, whatever you want to do. Jennifer's got a question. What is the best – oh, hang on, let me hit this button here so I can actually read it. What time of the day is the best time to go to Disney Springs? We're scheduled to go to the parks each day of our upcoming vacation. But we also want to schedule some time to spend at Disney Springs to do a little shopping and to get some delicious desserts.
Good call. Yeah.
So let me tell you this, and I'll talk about this on Friday. I rope dropped Disney Springs twice.
Nicely done.
Oh, yeah. I was at the rope, like at the, they're ready to shoot my head with the temperature thing, which they're not doing anymore. But I was ready. I was like, I'm cool. Let me in. And I want to get my Earl. But yeah.
That's awesome.
So obviously busier at night. There's more going on at night. You got to, man, they had a lot of live entertainment at Disney Springs.
Yes, they do.
They have a lot of like live music going. They have the little stage in the marketplace going with live music. They have the West Side. They got live music. It's happening at night. It depends. Like if you want the vibe, and I never felt like it was too crowded. Like I liked it at night, but afternoon or morning, if you don't want to deal with people.
I was totally, absolutely going to say the same thing. If you don't want to deal with a lot of people, then the morning, you know, early afternoon is the key time to go because there's not that many people. And if you want to hit up Gideon's, you have a much better shot of getting on the wait list and getting in early than if you go at the end of the night. At the end of the night, if you want to go to Gideon's, your chances are slimmer. So that's like she said, snacks. So, you know, I'm thinking that's what she meant. But I think night is a great time to go too, because like you said, the entertainment is definitely happen in the evening, and it doesn't happen as much in the morning slash early afternoon. So the entertainment definitely ramps up as the day goes on. So if you want that kind of atmosphere, then the evening is the time to go. But if you're really there just to shop and get stuff done, then the morning slash early afternoon.
And I will say too, coming out of this whole COVID, you know, era that we've been in for the last 18 months or so, just hearing somebody singing outside, you know, or yeah, because there was a lady that had a keyboard and she was playing kind of across from the Coke store, you know, down kind of by the AMC theater. There's a little water feature. She's playing a keyboard or playing a guitar sometimes and singing. I mean, she was a great singer. And I'm just like, man, I haven't heard live music in ages. You know, and then you went up to the marketplace. It was like a 3 or 4 person band playing on that stage. And there was somebody playing up by the Starbucks, kind of by the balloon, you know, and it was just like it added a lot to being at Disney Springs. Cause we did, you know, we went over cause we were staying at a Disney Springs hotel. So we went over to Everglades and got donuts, but I mean, we just walked around. Right. And just took it in because it was good to see people out and happy and listen to music. I mean, we didn't stop and like listen to a set or anything, but it was just, it started to feel more, it's one of those things I would not have realized that in 2019, like it would have just been background noise, but it was just like, it was pleasant to have live entertainment out there.
I get it 100%. Like it is, it's so great to feel kind of some of the normal stuff that, you know, we had been missing out on back home here. You know, we lucked into accidentally like going to finding this park and they were having a derby day. It was a couple weeks ago and like we had no idea they were having it, but like you could see they were setting and we didn't stay for it because we weren't all into that, but they were like going to have a costume contest for people dressed up for the derby. Nice. And they had, you know, picnic tables and stuff like that out for people to come and enjoy. They had, you know, cornhole and they had a giant chess set that you could play. Like they had a DJ and he, like, they were definitely playing some awesome tunes. So like it was just having atmosphere like that. I kept saying over and over to Brian, I was like, this is awesome.
Right,
like
right.
It's just having this is awesome. Now it was not a big deal, but it was still just great to feel that little sense of normalcy again.
So, well, and you know, yeah. You can go to Truist Park down in Atlanta. They're full capacity now.
I do have tickets to a Cardinals game. I'm just saying.
There you go. Full capacity. You guys got it. Okay, last question of the day. Let's hit it here for Jody, one of our great friends out in Cincinnati, Ohio. Go Reds. Not really. Just kidding. Go Cards. I had a friend reach out to me who's a DVC owner but can't use all her points due to upcoming other vacations. What? They had planned. Because they know they're huge Disney fans. They know we are huge Disney fans. They offered to sell us those points at a much discounted rate. Lucky us. It's always good to have a friend that. Yes. However, the points won't be enough for our entire stay. My question is, could we start off our trip at our regular resort, then finish at the DVC resort, but put park tickets for the entire length? We are not annual pass holders, and since that isn't an option at the moment, we would have to purchase tickets for the trip. Thanks for helping us figure this out, Jody in Cincinnati, 909 exact miles from Walt Disney World. Thanks. All right, so here's how that works. It's like a split stay. It's a split stay.
Yeah, it's a split stay.
So now the thing is, you can't do this easily. You can't do this online. But I do this as a travel agent all the time. So say you're staying 4 nights at your first resort and you're going to stay 4 nights at your second resort, right? You don't want to buy 4-day tickets on the first stay and then buy another set of 4-day tickets on the second stay because Magic Your Way tickets are more expensive on the front end. You don't want to pay day 1 through 4 prices when you can pay day 5 through 8 prices because it gets significantly cheaper. So what you do is you call Disney and you ask them to, you know, make your first 4-night stay with an 8-day base ticket or an 8-day park hop or whatever you want, water parks and more. You just tell them the length of ticket you want. They have to do this in their system because it isn't like a part of the online system where you can do this, but they will extend your ticket out and it will cover the entire time. And then the second reservation is just a room only. So the first ticket's a package with tick. The first stay is a package with tickets. So it should have an 8-digit confirmation number. I'm giving you probably too much information. The second reservation will be a room only. It'll have a 12-digit confirmation number, but it'll have different deposit and final payment policies. But that's how you do it. You make the first one a package with tickets to cover both stays. Make the second one a room only, and you can make your theme park reservations. Boom, 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 boom. Right there. You're set. Pretty simple. That's what I do. That's what I do every day. Got to make those splits. Okay. So that is going to do it, but we're going to be back on Friday. I cannot wait to talk about our trip down there last week. Ricky's going to talk about riding Velocicoaster. All that good stuff. Ricky wrote a roller coaster about dinosaurs. I know. We got
Who would have thought, right? I mean, what?
I know. So we are going to get out of here, but we'll be back again. Of course, no live show tomorrow on the Thursday because we didn't do one this past Sunday night because of all the nightmare. But we are going to have a live show, God willing, this Sunday night, 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central on Facebook and YouTube where you can call in and talk about anything you want when it comes to Disney, because we need to catch up. It's been a couple weeks. So put that on your calendar this Sunday night, 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central. Give us a call on YouTube and on Facebook. Don't forget today's show brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. Check them out for all your Disney travel needs. They're over at themagicforless.com. While you're there, fill out that free, no obligation quote form. And if you mention the Be Our Guest podcast, a little travel agent named Mike Rallman will get back to you. And we'll be planning a great trip. And there's a lot to plan. You got to go to the Boo Bash, right? You got to have some fun this fall.
Yes.
We're going to have a good time. So, yeah, fill out that quote form. Mention the show. We'll be taking care of you over at themagicforless.com. Thanks to everybody who uses our Amazon affiliate link. It's beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. It's a great free way to support the show. And especially our patrons. Thank you so much for supporting the show each month on Patreon. You guys are carrying everything while we're kind of getting everything back to normal. And I sure appreciate each and every one of you. We have our Patreon Discord where we talk every day for our patrons. And we have Mike in the Midwest every Thursday coming your way on the Patreon feed as well. So if you want more information about that, just visit patreon.com/beourguestpodcast. Give us a follow on Instagram and Twitter at beourguestmike. And of course, subscribe to the show on Facebook and YouTube. All right, we're going to get out of here. And again, we'll be back again on Friday where Ricky and I talk about our recent adventures down in Central Florida. So until then, for Pam, in spirit, Ricky, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Wednesday. Time to get back to work. And we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at beourguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.